Welcome to A Link to the Cast, the UK's newest video games podcast, coming from your MP3 player. We are on download and online. If this is your first time listening, an extra welcome along to you. Now, every month we're here with a look at news from the world of video games. We'll also review the latest games on Wii, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and Nintendo DS, and discuss some of the issues affecting gamers this month. This month's reviews, in fact, will be X-Men Origins Wolverine on the PlayStation 3. We've got the 18 certificate Mad World on Wii, and Brian Shelf's got a shelfie surprise. We don't quite know what he's going to review, but he'll reveal all very shortly. First, let's meet the team then. Ricardo, how's it going, mate?
How you doing? Yeah, I'm fine.
Thanks. Excellent. You're reviewing X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a surprise for me.
I like that. Every month we do a little bit about you. We try and find a little bit more about what makes you tick. Here's going to be this month's question. It's an interesting one, this, actually. What's the first game you ever bought? Not, you didn't trade it in, you didn't swap it with a mate, you didn't get it, bought it for a birthday or Christmas. The first one you saved up your own pocket money and bought. Hold on to that thought while we introduce Brian Shelf. Brian Shelf takes us through all things Xbox 360, but he also has a Nintendo DS and a Nintendo Wii and a PS3. Brian Shelf.
Hello.
What's the first game you ever bought? You've had a little bit more time to think of your answer for that one. What was the first one you went out and actually bought with your own money?
Oh, it'd be back on the Spectrum 48K, and do you know? I can't remember. It would have been something like Jet Set Willy, or it could have been Back to School, or it could have been some Codemasters thing. It was definitely something on a tape, and it was definitely $2.99, as all Spectrum games were at the time.
Was that particularly cheap back in 1980-something?
I think I got 75p pocket money a week. So that was a month's worth of pocket money to buy a game like that.
That's quite good. That, you see, mine was a PlayStation title, because I was very much, I would trade games, I would swap games, or I would get them for birthdays. And having two brothers as well, we tend to have a steady flow of games coming into the house. The first game I ever bought, though, you probably won't even remember this. It was on the PlayStation. It was like the PlayStation's attempt at doing a Mario Kart, and it was called Speed Freaks.
Oh man, I actually got that.
And I think it was $29.99. I would have been 16, something like that. As I say, before that time, I always got games for birthdays and Christmas. But yeah, I saved up and bought this game, Speed Freaks. Yeah, I look back now, it was playable, but not great.
Yeah, it's no Mario Kart 64.
And it's not exactly set the world on fire and gone down in history. No, it's a memorable game.
There wasn't exactly any sequels or anything, but no. I still think it was a pretty good, enjoyable little
racer. I reckon that was 97, something like that. Maybe 98, something like that. Yeah. Have you thought of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with Mr. Shelf here, actually. My first game that I ever saved up anything for was probably something like Dizzy or R-Type on the old audio cassettes for my Amstrad CPC 464. Now, there's a defunct little piece of equipment, yeah.
Excellent. How old are you, Rick?
I'm 29.
29. Yeah, that just sets the scene for you there, Brian Shelf. Revealing your showbiz age?
My showbiz age? No, I'm 34.
34. I don't know if I mentioned in the last podcast, but I was actually 27 the weekend just passed.
You celebrated it by trying to set fire to your back garden.
Yeah, this is true. I also tried to celebrate it by inviting friends around who would get me gifts. So some people got me a card, and inside the card wrote, "Please consider this to be your gift for the time being. I don't have any money."
Oh. At least I got your card.
Yeah, I didn't get your card.
Yeah, same here.
Oh, right. So in that case, in fact, no, you didn't even write any cards. You just said it to me. In fact, you just said it to me when you went, "Oh, I've not got you anything. Here's some beers. I'll get you something when I get paid." And I think you've been paid since, and I'm yet to receive anything.
Well, you know, I've not seen you, so, you know.
You've broken the fourth wall there.
Yeah, I'm not sat in the studio with you. I'm coming down a special phone line.
Your magic tubes.
Yes.
By the way, if you are online, which you probably are if you managed to get hold of this, there is a new website. It is www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Ricardo is the man who's built it, so he's going to tell you all about it.
Well, it's just our little hub for where we're going to be putting everything online. You basically go on there, you choose your little local radio station, which you might have found us floating about on your local station's website, and it'll put you through this portal to everything and anything you can think A Link to the Cast-wise. We're going to be putting our little profiles up on there soon, and there's going to be show notes from all of the shows coming out from this series soon.
Great stuff. I've got to say a big hello to a guy called Stephen Hitchin. Absolutely. He's got a website, stephenhitchin.com, www.stephen with a PH, and he's put together some Wind Wakerized versions of ourselves.
So we're all properly Zelda-ized now, in the full A Link to the Cast style.
They're absolutely brilliant. Brian is there. If you ever wonder what Brian looks like, there's a it's him playing on a DS, but he's dressed as Tingle from the Zelda games.
It's a little bit special.
The campest computer game character of all time. Brian Shelford, though, were you impressed with it?
I'm impressed with that. That's fantastic. Right. He's rendered me in quite an acceptable fashion. My face isn't quite as appealing to people normally as that. The girls seem to like it as well. Girls are a fan of Tingle, so, you know.
Excellent. You can see it all on www.alinktothecast.co.uk. It's going live this month, so do check that out. Right, it's time to do the news. Oh, but first, hold your horses there. Before we get the breaking news from the world of video games, we have our competition. And this month's competition, Stop the Press, has got a prize.
Oh my God.
It's got a couple of prizes, in fact, a couple of copies of games. Now, the way we do the competition here on A Link to the Cast is we give you a story. It's a story which didn't really happen. It's a made-up story, but it involves a character or characters from video games or the world of video games. And it's a series of events which occur, and you have to imagine what would happen, what would indeed happen in the tabloid newspapers if these events happened in real life. What would the headlines read? And I always put it to Ricardo and to Brian and try and get them to come up with as good a headline as the one that I've managed. So here's this month's competition, and then Brian's going to tell you about a couple of games that you can win if you get involved and come up with a better one. Here it is. A classic N64 character decided to quit her job to become a tree surgeon. She was particularly concerned with the outer appearance of the tree.
Oh my God.
Okay, a classic N64 character decided to quit her job to become a tree surgeon. She was particularly concerned with the outer appearance of the tree.
I'm actually sitting here and I, excuse the pun, feel stumped. Oh my word, really?
I love that joke there. Did you hear that one? Stumped?
Well, let's wait and see what your headline is.
Okay, so I want you to think about that. If you want to get involved as well, you can email. I'll tell you what, I'll give you out the email address, which is our current email address. It's games@citytalk.fm. How does this email work? The email address is games@citytalk.fm. So fire across. If you can think of a decent one, I'm going to give you mine at the end. And if you can come up with a better one, we'll give away a prize to the best one. Brian Shelf, what are the prizes this month?
Well, you've got a choice. I've got three review copies of games to give away, and you can pick two of them, and then I get to keep one of them, so that's all right. I've got Skate 2, I've got Hawks, and I've got Wheelman. So there you go. That's for the Xbox 360. But yeah, if you win, you can have two of those and just leave me whichever one you don't want.
Great stuff. Let's do the news. Okay, so I'm going to kick off with news of game. You'll know their stores around towns and cities around the UK. They posted record full-year profits after games such as Guitar Hero and Nintendo's Wii Fit device broadened the appeal of video games consoles. Pre-tax profits soared by 75% in the last year to 119.6 million in the 53 weeks to January the 31st, with the group's turnover rising by 32% to £1.9 billion. They own both Game and GameStation and said that an unprecedented range of products attracted new customers from all generations. These figures are unreal if you take into account what we are actually seeing on the high street. We actually talked about this last month. Pre-tax profits soared by 75% to £119 million. If you can consider the fact that you got Zavvi, Woolworths going out of business.
And that's a whole lot of money for any company to be making in the current sort of climate out there. So, I mean, it just goes to show that people really are enjoying staying in, buying a game instead of going out and spending all their money on drink or whatever, you know. It's still a very big market for games in the UK.
32 million gaming consoles sold in the UK as of January 2009. This is a phenomenal figure. I only think that this will increase given the fact that we're in a recession at the moment and people are more likely to stay in. Are you surprised by the figures, Brian?
I'm not surprised by the figures because it's stay-at-home fun, as it were. Everybody's looking for a cheap way to entertain themselves. And while computer games on the surface are quite expensive, you know, the amount of play you get out of them now, that's the sort of thing that people are doing. Plus, also, what I think is quite interesting and what sort of the underlying story in this is just the rise of the casual gamer. It no longer is a geek's preserve. You know, the vast majority of these sales are going on Wii games, they're going on things like Guitar Hero, you know, things that have a much wider appeal. You know, I just think anything that's keeping the industry alive at a time when some people feared, you know, it could really suffer, it's a good thing.
Yeah, my issue around it is how much of this money is going on people who saw Wii Tennis and bought a console maybe last Christmas, played it once, twice, they've not played it since, they have no intention, maybe bought Wii Fit, once, have no intention of playing it again, are very unlikely to get back into the gaming world.
We'll have to see. You know, Nintendo have got their Wii Sports, isn't it? It's like the sequel to Wii Sports
Resort.
Exactly, and that's when they have like another 13 different sports-orientated games in. If that proves to be as good a pickup as the Wii Tennis was, then it's a second wave. It's the whole Nintendo Touch generations making lots of really easy, accessible games that people think, you know what, that actually looks quite fun, and it's done.
What concerns me is the amount of money that goes to the companies that make carnival games and Imagine Doctors, and I think, well, are they going to think, well, you know what, that market's still there? Is that market still there? And is that market still going to be there in 3-4 years' time? I would say it's more likely that's going to die off because this is on a massive peak. We're on an increase here, aren't we? Mm. It's going to plateau off, and I imagine it's going to come down slightly.
I tell you what, it's also another sort of interesting side to this story is, you know, particularly in the music industry, there's so much talk about piracy and file, P2P file sharing and the internet, you know, supposedly taking the bottom out of their business, destroying, you know, their business models. And, you know, games are quite readily available if you know where to look, particularly on things like the DS. There's very easy ways to get vast quantities of games for absolutely nothing off the internet. Yet at the same time, you know, sales are going up and up, and stores, you know, that who are only dealing in legitimate products and second-hand products are still turning over massive profits. So, you know, again, is there a little bit of scaremongering on the part of the music industry, you know, which we're not seeing through in the games industry?
And going back to what you were saying earlier, Mick, about, you know, maybe reaching a plateau, there's one console in Japan which some analysts are thinking may have actually reached its peak. It's the Wii. They think that it may have actually sold as many as it's pretty much going to sell. And they've seen for the first time in the last 3 years that the sales have actually gone down. And now there's a second side to this story as well, is the PS3 has actually had a massive surge in sales in Japan. But that's all down to the nerdism, because they've released the little trailer of Final Fantasy 13, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. This, and there's a couple of sales figure stories out this month. Quadrupled the sales of the PlayStation 3 in Japan because of this demo version of Final Fantasy 13. Now, they sold something like 16,000 one week.
Yeah.
And the next week, they sold 62,527 units. That's up until the weekend in the 19th of April. Now, this apparently coincides with a Blu-ray release as well, which is Final Fantasy 7 Advent Children Complete.
Right.
Which includes this demo,
which is of course
as a bonus material,
an animated film based on the characters from Final Fantasy VII, which actually saw a massive spike in PSP sales when it was releasing on the UMD discs about a year and a half ago as well. So they're just churning it out again, getting massive sales again.
But these consoles rely on these big name titles people will actually buy the console. People will spend £200 on the console so they can buy and play the £40 game. And I think this is a classic example. Interestingly, when it comes out in the UK, it's going to be out on Xbox 360 as well. I'm not sure if the UK ever really sees that sort of thing you get in Japan, particularly around the Square Enix games, Final Fantasy games, and so on.
Yeah, not,
well, yeah, I've never played Final Fantasy, so what can someone explain the appeal? What is so great about them?
Well, there's 5 million people bought Final Fantasy 12 for the PlayStation 2 alone. Now, Final Fantasy VII was the first game I ever picked up on the PlayStation, which was the first real epic Final Fantasy game, turn-based fighting. I think it's more the world that's created around the games rather than...
People kind of fell in love with the characters and the settings of it, and it's, you know, it was, like you say, the first big epic Final Fantasy game. It was set across four discs, and people said it took a minimum of 60 hours to complete or something, so there's a whole lot of depth in there. But there was something about the way it was put together and the magic in the storyline that kept people going through that 60 hours and then on to another 40 or 50 hours afterwards. You've got plenty of stories and forums rammed with people online saying that, you know, they've gone back to it for a fourth or fifth time and they're still going through 110 hours on their fifth time round. It's something magic. And there's only one audio track for when you're in any of those random fights. How annoying is that music after a while? But still, people go back and do it.
Absolutely.
We're back in my nadir of games, though. It's blooming storylines. Honestly.
I tell you, let's go back to the maths of it. I've got some figures here. I want you to sort of play along with this as well. How many sales of the Nintendo DS have there been in its lifetime? This is in the UK. This is in the UK. Bearing in mind there's 60 million people living in the UK.
Right, I'm going to guess.
And this is any DS platform.
This is lifetime DS sales. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to guess, probably massively over the top, but I'm going to guess 15 million.
15 million from Brian.
I'm gonna say even a little bit more. I'm gonna go 18.
No, 18 million. One in 18. One in three people have a DS.
Well, people, I actually have two DSs, you know, and I know people have gone back and bought a second one and then couldn't be bothered to sell the original DS because it was massive.
But, well, yeah, I think it's the third time I've bought two, so yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, you won't be surprised. Well, you may be surprised. 8.8 million.
There's still a lot of people, I mean, in the UK.
What's that, one in seven, like that? So 8.8 million DS sales. The Wii is below that, so the Wii is number two on the chart, so less than 8.8 million. But how many people have bought a Wii in the UK?
4.1.
I thought it was around about 3 million.
I'll tell you what, 4.9, so just
very
shy of
good
5
shelfie.
Million.
God.
What do you think comes next after that?
On any
so DS,
platform.
It's DS is top.
I know the next one, actually. I read this online.
Okay, Brian Shelf.
What comes next?
What
after
comes
the
next on the list?
On the list. Is it either PS3 or Xbox, or both?
It's not a PS3.
You've got half of it, right?
Xbox.
Xbox, and there's two neck and neck.
What else is there?
The Xbox 360.
Xbox 360 is one of them, and there's something else. You'll be surprised about it. It's a PSP.
Yeah. Well,
really?
Where's it come from? Yeah, absolutely.
The PSP has sold 3.2 million in the UK, and the Xbox 360 has sold 3.2 million in the UK. I'm surprised, but I never hear anyone ever talking about PlayStation Portables.
No, they just don't release games on it. That's the problem. People seem to have bought it as a little mobile internet platform or as a like MP3 player and maybe got one or two games when they've got it. But then there's very little else to go and get with it.
UMDs, they don't even do them anymore, do they?
No, exactly. Why would you want to film on UMD anyway?
So you got 3.2 million of them. How many PS3s have been sold?
Just under 2 million, I believe.
Just under 2 million is correct. 1.9 million. Apparently doing better in mainland Europe, though. It sells more than the Xbox 360.
Mm. It's selling well on various territories, but, you know, when you go back to America, obviously, the 360 is absolutely caning over there. And like you say, over here, the Xbox 360 is selling considerably more than the PS3 as well. So I know it's a mixed markets thing, and I think we're starting to see more multi-platform games, you know, or games go multi-platform for the PS3 as well. I think we're almost at that turning point.
Okay, well, I'm going to wrap things up at my end with a multi-platform game coming to your Wii, your Xbox 360, or your PS3 at the end of the year. It's Rock Band. It's Lego Rock Band.
Have you seen any of the little shots of this?
I'm going to show Adam, our producer, some pictures now of some screenshots there. How does that look to you, Adam? That looks pretty
nifty. We're going to whack some of these on our
site as well.
I'm not
impressed at all. It just looks... It doesn't appeal to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me, but it looks awesome.
Some of the titles with songs we're going to have. Blur's Song 2, I can see how that works. The Final Countdown by Europe. Good Charlotte, Boys and Girls, Pink, So What. But also Carl Douglas's Kung Fu Fighting, which is interesting. Now, what I want to know is, do you get a special Lego guitar to play on?
That would
maybe
be
one you
cool.
could build yourself or you could sort of adapt with
you can make an extra long neck on it or something ridiculous.
But that's Lego Rock Band.
Who came up with that idea?
All it is the people at Rock Band going, still, why aren't we selling as many as Guitar Hero? Yeah. And then going, what's another poppy? Those Lego games have done quite well. Mm-hmm. What if we what if we get into bed with them? But, it may do great.
Were you surprised when Rock Band 2 was announced and it would be out with full compatibility with Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero World Tour, Guitar Hero 3 instruments?
No, not really, because, I mean, they angered so many people the first time round, didn't they, by releasing these really expensive band-in-the-box things, and everybody gets it home and undoes it, and there's no game in there.
I'm really looking forward to that, Rock Band 2, because like, I had Guitar Hero controllers from the previous game, so to not be able to use them seemed like a bit of an irritation.
And we talked about it before. I think its release date's drawing closer. Guitar Hero Greatest Hits. Are we interested in that? I might pick that up.
They've been holding online votes, so you can vote for what tracks you think should be making the final cut for the game.
But I don't trust other people to pick.
Well, this is true. You can still look at the track listing online. We'll hook up the link on the show notes for that as well.
Okay, so it's a link to the cast. We're taking a look at some of the news stories around video games around the world this month. I'm going to tell you about an event that's happening in London at the end of April. So depending on when you're listening to the podcast, it's either about to happen or it's already happened. It's called the Intel Friday Night Game. It's all part of the ESL Pro Series League. And to tell us a little bit more about it is Joe Fender. He's one of the organisers. How's it going, Joe?
Hi there, yeah, it's good, thanks.
Tell us a little bit about the ESL Pro Series.
Okay, well, the Electronic Sports League, also known as ESL, has been running since before year 2000 in Europe, running events for professional gaming. We've only started running events in the UK about 2 months ago. We had our first event a couple of months ago in London, which was a great success. And we've got our second event, which is tomorrow, but it might be in the past after this recording, for just one play day out of an entire season that's been running online, for a slice of around £30,000 prize money for professional UK players.
Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff dreams are made of. I mean, you can tell this is all happening in London because there's that much noise in the background, but £30,000 is up for grabs. What are the disciplines, if you like? What is it that people are going to be playing that they're going to have to be beating other people at? What are the games?
All the games in the Pro Series are on the computer, PC. We don't use consoles in our league. This is the second season at the moment. The first season was just Counter-Strike Source by Valve and Call of Duty 4 by Activision. This season, we still have those two titles, but we've also brought in Quake 3 and Trackmania Nations Forever, which is a free racing game. Counter-Strike and Call of Duty are played 5-on-5. Whereas Quake 3 and the Trackmania game is played 1-on-1.
Awesome. And where's this all happening?
Wow. This is all happening in City University in Islington, London.
Joe, stay there, because I'm going to be joined now by one of the guys who's taking part. He goes under the pseudonym Critical. How's it going, mate?
All right. You all right?
Yeah, I mean, people will hear about this. £30,000 is up for grabs. This is like a dream job, isn't it, being a professional gamer?
Yeah, it pretty much is. I mean, we get to go to all the different countries sponsored, and that's free. So, it's brilliant, really. We just get to go to tournaments and do what we enjoy doing.
What sort of places have you travelled to?
I've been to Sweden, France a few times, just everywhere around Europe.
And officially, then, is this your job?
No, I'm a student. I study at Cardiff University, doing business management.
I mean, £30,000 for the winner of the league. I mean, is that enough to live off for students and for gamers? I mean, it seems like a fair whack of cash.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, every week we play games online, and every week we're looking at £20 each if we win. So it's not really enough to live off, really. But it's getting there. It's getting there. It's definitely getting there.
Excellent stuff. We heard there from Joe that these are all happening on PC. I mean, what's your sort of weapon of choice, if you like? Are you mainly a PC gamer, or maybe do you play consoles in your off time, your downtime from doing the professional stuff?
I have got a PlayStation 3, but I mainly just focus on PC for competitive gaming. I'd go on FIFA, but that's about it.
Out of the four disciplines we've got there, I'll just go through them again. Call of Duty 4, Counter-Strike Source, Quake 3 Arena, and Trackmania Nations Forever. Which of those is your sort of speciality, would you say?
Counter-Strike Source, without a doubt. That's the one I play mostly.
Are you one of those people, you know, when you play with your friends and there's always one who's miles better than everybody else? is that you?
Yeah, kind of. I grew up and in college I got introduced to the game and a lot of people played it. And I just basically stood out above the rest of them. So I just carried on, met new people, went to tournaments, and that's how I got into it, really.
Okay, Joe Fender's still with us. Joe, who selects the games that are going to be played as part of tournaments like this?
Well, actually, it's the community that selects them. We've been running not just the professional series, but the amateur series and just casual, non-prize-funded community cups online for years in the UK. And the most popular games have been Counter-Strike Source and Call of Duty. So, I mean, it was quite obvious for us to choose those games when we started the Pro Series.
And in terms of these events as well, there's opportunities to, for people to get down there as well. Do you get many spectators at events like these?
Well, as we've just started, it's not been huge amounts of people flocking in. We haven't sold out. In Germany, the company's been running these events for almost 8 years now, and they often see over 2,000 people coming down every Friday to watch the games. We had our first event in a couple of months ago, like I said, and we had about, I think, 250 people in the venue at that one. Mm. And we're looking to increase that every event with a lot of plans to start joining up with exhibitions and larger events.
Brilliant stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave you to it. I know you're absolutely chock-a-block. People can probably hear in the background all the organising that's going on. So, chaps, I wish you the best of luck. Joe, good luck with the organising. Critical, good luck with the event itself.
Thanks.
And we'll catch up maybe next month, find out exactly how you got on. Okay, so it's a link to the cast on your MP3 player on download and online as well. We also have a new website, www.alinktothecast.co.uk. You can check that out as well. Ricardo, 30 grand if you win one of these sort of video gaming leagues. Would you ever quit your job to become a pro gamer?
Somebody asked me when I was at uni if I'd consider that, and I thought, you know what? There's always going to be someone better than me.
I've seen you play Bomberman.
Yeah, I can get pretty fierce on that. You should see me on Call of Duty as well. I love that game. But yeah, no matter how good you think you are, I'm never really sure that I'm that good. I'd love to be able to, but no.
The most depressing thing is you play your heart out, you get the best score you've ever got, and you go onto the online table and you discover not only is someone better than you, 28,472 people are better than you.
I've got three reviews for you in this month's podcast. First of all, we've got a bit of a special from Brian Shelf. He's holding back. It's going to be a potluck review. It's going to be a Shelfy surprise, we're going to call it that. He's still holding back on that. We're going to find out more in just a few moments' time. And Ricardo's taking a look at X-Men Origins Wolverine on the PlayStation 3. I believe it's also available on the 360
as
well.
That's right, yeah, absolutely.
And not on the Wii, though, I don't think.
No, I think they've got a PSP version coming out.
A what?
I know. Would you believe it?
Okay, then. I'm going to kick off with Mad World I've been playing this month. Mad World is the new title on Wii. It's an 18 certificate game. If you've seen it, it's from the makers of the guys who do the likes of Killer 7. It's a hack and slash. Now, that's an important feature that I'm going to mention. The style of it, though, is particularly interesting. It's all black and white. The whole game is black and white. You play almost like a running man character. You find yourself in a city. The city's on lockdown. And there's this bizarre game show going on where there's a number of people going around basically trying to kill each other in as many sort of bizarre ways as possible. So you might want to maybe stick a tire over somebody's head and then lob them into a flaming bin. You might want to repeatedly hurl them against a spike, all in the name of getting points to increase your score. There's also sort of a subplot going on, which I won't spoil for anyone else that's going on, but it's not all as it seems. Maybe your character knows a little bit more than he might do and all that sort of jazz. The one bit of colour in the game is the blood. And now, like I say, this is a hack and slash. Now, I think the makers of this game have gone, right, let's do a hack and slash. And I think they've gone, let's do the ultimate hack and slash. How are we going to do the ultimate hack and slash? Well, let's do a game where you have to go around hacking and slashing everything. That's the name of the game. And also slashing. So how will we do that? Let's make the main character have a chainsaw as an arm. Sorry, he's got this chainsaw attached to his arm. You go around as part of this this game show and you go around hacking and slashing things. I'd say more, but that essentially is it.
Well, yeah, because I've had a snifter around this as well. And, I've got so many games to play at the moment that I kind of just dipped into it for about 15 minutes and thought, I must be missing something because this this is just, just endlessly killing people by kind of just waggling things around as well. There doesn't appear to be that much skill to it.
I played it for a slightly longer period than 15 minutes. But what you do find is you find these sort of boss levels, boss battles, and you also find these sort of set pieces. Yeah. So you've got like a train coming and you've got to do certain things before the train arrives, or throw people in front of the train before it arrives.
I saw the turbine as well, the big jet engine turbine, you're just throwing people over and over into a jet engine.
A dartboard appears and you have to whack people with a club into the dartboard and score points. So you do get the, and that's supposed to be, I think, the variety. The main problem for me, though, apart from the sort of the constant sort of hacking and slashing, is that the controls don't particularly feel that receptive to what you're actually trying to do.
It's all moving your arms around and
yeah,
all that?
Yeah, very much so. What it tries to do is sort of advise you as best as possible if you might want to sort of quickly flick up your nunchuck to do a move,
right,
or things like that. But actually, controls wise, you don't really feel like you're getting the response that you're looking for. What I'd also say would be sort of the camera angle. It's one of those things where if you're fighting a boss, you want to be looking at the boss, don't you?
Yeah.
The lock on, I can't figure out how really that's supposed to work. So you end up in one of these situations where you're battling him, he moves, you flip back, you turn around, you're facing the wrong way, and suddenly he just starts attacking you and hacking you in the back. And you've got to sort of run around in a big circle to get back in the view. I find that really, really frustrating. Style-wise, like I say, it looks good. But the problem that you've got, because it's black and white, there are issues about the definition of certain areas. So you do have these areas where you might have spikes on the wall. You're supposed to throw people onto the spikes. Mm. But actually, you've got that much going on the screen and you've only got these two shades of colours. It's not the easiest thing to think, right, there are the spikes, I'll aim for those.
Mm. And it's meant to be a really chaotic game where you're meant to be building up combos, aren't you? So you mentioned about like throwing a tyre on someone's head and then you're meant to pan them around the face with the sign or whatever, then throw them on the wall.
Or you might want to stick you pick up the road sign spike and stick it right through them.
Oh my God.
So it's designed to be just a sort gore, of as hardcore as possible. It's like ultimate hack and slash. Mm. So just hacking and slashing. There's blood everywhere. It's absolutely like an 18 certificate game. I wouldn't even recommend it to anyone over the age of 18, nor for people under the age of 18. I'm not impressed with it, really, outside of it looks okay. But it's one of those games which maybe flatters to deceive, because the style of it, I think, outdoes the gameplay.
Right.
I think when you strip it right back, there's not a lot of time in there. I don't think you're going to get that much time out of it. There's not a great reason to go back and play it, I don't think.
Right.
No, so what, in Link to the Cast review terms, would make you stop playing it?
It's interesting, this, because I was sort of having my final fix before I did the review today. So I was playing it through again last night, and You know what made me stop?
Go on.
I was playing and I thought, you know what, I'll play Guitar Hero. I'm going to play some Guitar Hero 3. So I thought, right, save, turn it off. And then I didn't play Guitar Hero 3. I sort of got it and I thought, you know what,
I can't
be bothered playing Guitar Hero 3. So I think the thing that stopped me playing this game was the thought of playing Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah.
I just sort of thought, you know what, I can't be bothered.
From my point of view, I played it for about 15 minutes and then I've not even thought about it. In fact, when I was tidying the house the other day, I found it and thought, oh yeah, I've got Mad World. And
isn't it a real shame though? Because like all the hype around it looks kind of cool.
This was on my list of games with a date in the calendar, which I thought, you know, this is one to look out for.
Right. I loved Killer 7 as well. I thought that was incredible.
Ricardo, you're on X-Men Origins. Colon.
Wolverine.
Is it a dash or is it a colon? Or a semicolon?
I believe
a comma?
It's a colon.
A colon, I
there
like
you
that.
Go.
Tell us about Wolverine and your colon.
Well, I'd rather miss that bit out if that's okay with you. But moving to the game, obviously it's the game of the film that's coming out very shortly.
Is there a film coming out?
Indeed, there is.
I've not seen posters everywhere.
Yeah. And obviously that's centred around Wolverine and how he became one of the X-Men. What led him to have his adamantium skeleton? Now, being a bit of an X-Men nerd, I kind of put a request in for this, kind of thinking it's going to be another one of those heavily rushed film title games. But you know what?
Possibly a hack and slash.
Indeed, it is a hack and slash, yeah. But you know what? I actually, playing it for a bit, it's actually really quite good. They've actually polished it. The platforming element works. You know, you're jumping around. The combat is, done in the vein of a Devil May Cry or a God of War, so it's ridiculously over the top. And it's incredibly brutal as well. I mean, it's a game really centred on the character of Wolverine and trying to make him look as brutal and nasty as he does in the original comics. So, you know, he's a pretty angry guy with some real issues about his family, and you go after chasing his brother. I'm not going to spoil the things for those who haven't read the comic books, but it's pretty massive combat scenes, and it does it really well. So set 20 years before the first X-Men film, he's chasing his brother, he's looking for vengeance on the guys that have betrayed him, blah, 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 blah. But it's a lot of combat.
Story, story, story.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of combat, a lot of stuff done in the style of God of War, which I also really liked. I don't know if any of you guys have played Devil May Cry.
Yeah, on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what did you think? It's just over-the-top action, right?
Yeah, and it looked good as well. Is it what, they're using the same style of engine?
Yeah, kind of, I'd say. There's a few sort of balance issues I'd maybe say about Wolverine as a character, because obviously he's kind of indestructible. You know, he's got this adamantium, indestructible metal skeleton. So how are you going to put the risk into the game?
Every time you say adamantium, I want to sing Stand and Deliver.
so how do you build a game around a character who's essentially invincible? Well, they deal with it quite well, and I think I don't want to lend too much about it because it obviously follows the plots of the film. Yeah. But
can you die?
Yeah, you can die in some situations. Oh, right. Yeah. So it's actually a surprisingly good game. A lot of combat, which does get a bit repetitive, but like any of the other games, like I mentioned before, it's not really about the mass brawls that you're getting stuck into. It's about working your way through a level, doing maybe one or two kind of Tomb Raider-esque puzzles, and then getting to the boss. And in that style, it's good old-fashioned bosses. Run around, try and dodge him, work out the weakness, and pounce on it. And for that, it's really quite good.
Well, that's strange. Does that just break the rule of all movie tie-in games are terrible because they're always forced to be released on a certain date? And if you know anything about the production of computer games, is they always come out about 2.5 years after they're supposed to.
No, I'd like to say there are a couple of other exceptions to the old film tie-in rule. I thought Die Hard and Die Hard Trilogy, did anyone play that back in the day on the PlayStation 1? It was like three separate games. The first one was a bit rubbish. The second one, I think, was a shoot the screen thing, which was pretty good, quite entertaining.
I don't think I played that.
No?
I did have a Die Hard game on the GameCube.
Right.
It was awful because I asked, I got it for a birthday, and I'd asked for Nightfire, 007 Nightfire.
Right.
And then when I got it, I got the box, but I opened the box and it was a Die Hard game, and it was absolutely woful.
Oh, dear.
And I had to
A few in their time, and I thought Aliens back on the, I think it was on the Commodore 64 back in the day. That was kind of a really slow motion thing, but that was really good. Kind of atmospheric for its time. So there's been a few, but you're not wrong. Most of them very rushed.
I thought Spider-Man 2 was my favourite movie tie-in game outside of GoldenEye. Although GoldenEye came out 2 years after the film GoldenEye. I think actually GoldenEye came out. Spider-Man 2 was out on the GameCube. It had a fairly sort of by numbers sort of action sort of plots. You went around finding these, but it also had this free roaming section.
Yeah, that was the big thing for
you. Could just go around New York City slinging webs. You could climb up the side of Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building. You could do all that, and actually that as a movie tie-in was absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed that one. What will make you stop playing that game?
Well, it does this kind of combat thing really well, but ultimately, there's only so much wading through any kind of level and hundreds of generic bad guys that you can get, you know, you can put up with until you get with a boss. So I kind of put it down to get my dinner, to just relax a bit, to put it down, because otherwise you're going to batter your thumbs to hell. So just for a bit of respite, a bit of a bite to eat, you know.
Yum, yum, dinner time. Our regular listeners to A Link to the Cast will know that Brian Shelf, over the past sort of months, has accrued himself every single console ever known to man.
The king of consoles, he calls himself.
And he's made himself a crown.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in doing so, has found himself in a bit of a predicament. I think he's got too many games now.
Mm. Yes.
I think he's not quite sure what he wants to play. And and that's why we find that his review this month is a Shelfie surprise.
It is. So, I'm going to surprise you.
Come on, Brian.
I have been playing nothing.
Oh,
I've played nothing since we last spoke. Now, I've kind of got an excuse. I've been working late.
I went away for 2 weeks, still got a game sent through, man.
I've been working late, and also I got sent through the post by a good friend of mine, Rusty, this thing called the Tenorion, which is like this sort of Yamaha music thing that's got all sort of lights, and you press buttons
on
it.
What would stop you from playing that then? Go on.
an epileptic seizure.
or an extra job to do at work. Oh my word.
Is this one of these sort of like synth things which light up and they sort of have fancy patterns and you type in... almost the tune, and it replays it in sort of numerous fancy ways.
Exactly, and does all sorts of lights and stuff, and it's incredible. So I've been sort of learning
how
to use that.
It does all sorts of lights and stuff.
Brilliant.
Yeah, that's a good review. Language is my tool.
Tell us about Flower. We teased Flower in the last episode, you see, because you said you've been playing that quite a bit.
Do you know, the last person actually to play Flat was your girlfriend, Mick. That's how little I've been playing games of recent. It's terrible. I should hand my King of Consoles badge in, really, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And have you made
that badge up?
I've got Godfather 2 at home, but rather like the film, I have not put it anywhere near the machine. So I've got. It's terrible. That I feel bad.
Well done. Episode 3, Brian Shelf failed to review a video game. Unbelievable.
You've got to be honest. You've got to be honest with the listener. There's a bond with the listener. You've got to tell them the truth here. I could just come on and read something off the internet and make it up. But no, I'm going to tell the truth and say, no, I've just been
lazy.
I'm
going to applaud that honesty.
Emails coming to games@citytalk.fm if you want to get involved. Maybe have a go at Brian Shelf. Okay, so it is A Link to the Cast. We have a brand new website, www.alinktothecast.co.uk. Do check it out. Let us know your thoughts as well on email. You'll find a link on there. How exciting. Do get in touch. It's the part of the show where we go through the mailbag, people who've been emailing the show over the last couple of months. What we like to do here on A Link to the Cast is do one episode where we do our news, reviews, and then we have a secondary update episode, which comes every sort of second week. So this update, the last one we did, was Professor Layton. And do you hoard achievements? It's all available to download via the website. So do check that out. Now, people who've been emailing on games@citytalk.fm, JJ in Manchester. Is it me or are Nintendo adult theme games not hitting the mark? GTA, okay, but Mad World and House of Dead, nowhere near as good as their HD counterparts. JJ in Manchester. I picked that one out because I sort of agree with what JJ's saying. Doesn't say if it's a boy or a girl. But Nintendo at the moment really pushing these sort of adult titles. I think the last three that I've reviewed have been Mad World, House of the Dead, GTA as well. They're all 18 certificate games.
Surely you're going to take up a point with him about GTA, though, because you absolutely loved that game.
I think it's good. GTA, okay, says the email.
Okay, just okay, though.
But Mad World, House of the Dead, nowhere near as good. I think there's a point here that actually, yeah, Mad World plays okay, House of the Dead, okay. But actually, if you're looking for that sort of game, you will find a better version of that game on an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3. I don't think there's an essential 18 plus Nintendo title out there at the moment.
No, I think you'd be right there as well. Do they do other kind of like adult genres? Like, is there a really good beat 'em up out there? I know beat 'em ups get played by 16-year-olds as well, but
you end up with the Dragon Ball series and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you see, they're all like licensed things from anime or whatever.
You're not going to get a Tekken. You're not going to get Street Fighter
or anything like that.
Brian Shelf, what do you reckon? Can you think of, have you played any
essential adult games on the Wii?
I mean, even on like the 64 or the GameCube, apart from Resident Evil 4, which was a 15.
That's the only one that I can think of. And to be honest, should they be concentrating on that? Because at the moment, Nintendo are absolutely killing it in the industry from the so-called casual gamer market. So perhaps it's an error to go down that way. But I think it's a lot of the time, I think the pressure has come from publishers themselves, is that because they see there are so many DSs and Wiis out there that they want a piece of that market and think, well, we'll license it for the Wii as well, and it's not necessarily the right platform for it, and the game doesn't feel quite right when it eventually does come out.
It's good to see A Link to the Cast has gone national, which reflects the next two. Brian, we've got some fan mail for you.
Yeah, hey.
He goes, woohoo, go, 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 Brian. Flower is wicked. And then you have to explain this next bit to me. OMG, I can't stop playing.
Oh my goodness, I can't stop playing.
Oh my god.
Or insert a deity of your choice there at that
Woo-hoo.
Point.
Woohoo, go, 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 Brian. Flower is wicked. Oh my god, I can't stop playing. Samantha in Sheffield.
Thanks, Mum.
Whose mum is called Samantha? Tommy Hicks is Scotland, talking about the DSi. Now, we've touched on this last month and also in the update about how we weren't quite sure whether or not people would actually get one. He says he's traded in his DS. He also says the screen makes a big difference and it's even brighter than the original DS. Now, Tommy, I think we already knew this. The original DS was not bright in the slightest.
No.
I thought that had been corrected in the DS Lite.
DS Lite, that was the whole point, yeah.
And the screen makes a big difference.
I want to know if he's using any of the other kind of functions around it, or just playing the same games on a nicer screen.
We're yet to play a DSi title, aren't we? And I was looking online at the WarioWare game that's coming out, WarioWare Snapped, and you know what? It looked pretty awful, the quality.
Really?
Because what you do, you have like a, say, an image image, and it's a guy holding his hands out. And what you do, you put the DS down, and then you have to put your hands up. The camera reads where your hands are, and you have to maybe play like Pat-a-Cake, Baker's Man with him. But the camera quality looked absolutely dreadful.
Right.
I don't know if it's because it's within the game, but it seems to show almost like a shadow of yourself. And the other thing is, you've got to put your DS down.
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing about DS is you can hold it almost right in front of your face and get the full sort of experience. But to actually put it down, what, in a cafe? On a desk?
Well, this is
and
it.
Then they start waving your arms around. Great.
They seem to have managed to move on from the even more embarrassing level of having to talk to your DS on a train, that you now have to wave at it as well, which is, you know, at least you get a double seat to yourself. That's the only bonus.
I don't think WarioWare was maybe the best way to go with it, because they've been really creative with those games, you know, in the past. But the whole, like you were saying, the whole idea of the DS, or the whole point of it really, is that you can go mobile with it. And do you really want to be flapping your arms around and waving the thing about when you're
I think
it's the wrong game for it.
They should have done, go around and take photos of people who look like Nintendo characters and put them on a website, and you could do that. It would be great. Go around looking for like somebody who looks like Luigi. The mailbag, if you go to the website, a link to thecast.co.uk, you can email the show from there, and we'll pick those up in either the update episode we do in a couple of weeks' time, or next month's episode. Just going to wrap up with our competition. We're going to find out how Rick and Brian Shelf got on. A classic N64 character decided to quit her job to become a tree surgeon. She was particularly concerned with the outer appearance of the tree. The clues were all there. Brian Shelf, did you come up with one?
No. Peach, leaves, bark, something.
Ricardo's looking blank-faced.
Daisy barks at wrong tree. I don't know.
Daisy barks up wrong tree. I love it. Well, I'll tell you what. If you've got a better one, do email the show. There's a chance of winning a couple of games.
You can surely do better than those as well.
Can I give you mine?
So
this is a classic N64 character.
Did you by any chance think of this and then work backwards to the title?
A classic N64 character decided to quit her job to become a tree surgeon. She was particularly concerned with the outer appearance of the tree. Perfect bark.
Perfect bark. Classic N64.
People can do better than that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap up by telling you what's happening in the update episode, episode 38. It's coming to you very soon, depending on when you're listening to this. We're going to be talking about style over content. Which games do you think looked absolutely fantastic, but actually played very poorly? Some of this week's games may be quite relevant. Equally, games that looked awful but played really well. We're going to be talking about that in about 2 weeks' time, as I say, depending on when you're listening to this. And the week after that, or rather than possibly the week after that, with the next episode, episode 4, we're talking about downloadable content games, sales of games in the shops at the moment, drying up slightly, so we're going to be playing purely downloadable games. So it's going to be on PSN, Xbox Arcade, WiiWare, and so on and so forth. So thanks for joining us. I'm Mick. He's Rick.
I'm Rick.
And we've got Brian as well. A link to thecast.co.uk is our brand new website, and get in touch as well. You can email via the website. Nice to speak to you.
Have fun.
Bye.
Oh, I've not got the theme music loaded up. I'll have to add it in later. You'll do us the honours, Mick.
Early to the cast. Hello and welcome. Dudes, let's welcome.